Hi, this is Larry London. We welcome you to Border Crossings. And from his home where he's been quarantined for a bit, we welcome to today's program singer-songwriter John Kay. And I believe your home is probably somewhere in Florida, if I'm not mistaken.
You are correct. I'm in Orlando, Florida.
Ah, the House of the Mouse.
Yes.
The people around the world know, of course, Disney World is based in Orlando. That must have been fun growing up in a place where you got Disney World right around the corner.
Yeah, it's kind of like growing up on the beach. You know it's always there. So when you live next to it, you never go. Mm-hmm. And until somebody comes in town from out of town, and then you get to, you know, be their tour guide. Yeah.
And of course, a lot of great bands and acts have come out of Orlando, Florida. And so you have been making music for your whole life. Is this has always been the passion? This has been the goal?
Not really. It wasn't really something I thought I wanted to really pursue until my early 20s. I wasn't even a good singer throughout high school. I was kind of in my bedroom or in my car, you know, enjoying it and just having it be this thing that was kind of in the back seat. But it wasn't until a lot of people, I guess, started recognizing that it was something I really needed to pursue and just stayed on me. And a lot of other people pushed me to say, hey, this is something you could really, really do well at. And I think you should stick to it. And so, yeah, it wasn't something I just knew from day one that it was what I wanted to do, but I was really, really happy to fall into it and have the opportunity to pursue it.
Mm-hmm. And you're living the dream now, I guess, because you started off as an independent artist and then you were signed by a major label, Epic.
Yeah.
That's every artist's hope and dream and goal. So yeah. Congratulations to you on that.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a lot of little things that had to come together the right way. It was a lot of little steps of forward momentum and then committing to it more, having the team, and you know, we've just all stayed in it and grown together and kept writing and pursuing it. And now I feel like we're really hitting our stride as a group, really.
And your latest project, Love Plus Everything Else, came out in November. And since that time, you've already got close to 500 million streams.
Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, how do you wrap your hands around 500 million streams?
I think, you know, it proves that there's connection. It proves that people are, that's the only goal for it, is that we're able to make music that people connect to and want to go back to it for whatever thing they found in it. And that just inspired me to continue to be vulnerable, to continue to be honest in the writing. And it's just like, hey, we're on the right path. Let's just keep going.
Now, were you discovered by a New York DJ? Because I know that you were introduced on the NBC Today show as, you know, his artist to watch, artist of the week, his artist to catch, Elvis Duran. So, I mean, how did that connection come to be?
2017. Elvis was one of the first ones. I remember we did this small lounge show called the Dunkin' Donuts Lounge in New York. And Elvis' publicist was there and he made it happen for us. And the next month, that was the beginning of all that sparked all the momentum, because all the labels started calling us and being like, how the heck did you guys get on the Today Show? What did you do? Like, what are you doing? And we played it cool. We're like, you know, we just got this, man. We make stuff happen. This is what we do. And that started kind of the talk with different labels. And we were happy to find a home with Epic.
And so the first single, the first major single, you've had a number of songs out, but the first really song that put you on the map, If We Ever Met. And so that got over 300 million streams, that multi-platinum, you know, tune there. And I guess are you going to sing that one for us today on the show?
No, absolutely. Yeah. That's the one that sparked it all. And that was the one where I was just completely honest kind of about the story. I sat down with a great songwriter and we didn't know each other. And I just started telling, her name's Steph Jones. I started telling Steph how I met the team and how, you know, this guy Dante ended up moving in, and he was my guitarist at first and then ended up being just a collaborator on everything and a great songwriter. He moved in with me and quit his job. And it was like kind of the same story with my manager. Like he saw me and he believed in me, and he was like, he wasn't even in music. And he was like, I'm going to quit everything and we're going to go get this together. And he was just a naturally born manager. He knows how to open doors. And I met my wife through that same kind of process. And so I was just explaining how this team came together and how, you know, it's crazy to look at, if I hadn't done these things, the life path, I could have been in a totally different place. And it's been through music that I met my wife and my best friends and my small, we keep our team really, really small. And she was like, so if you never met all these people, and I was like, if we never met, that's it. And then an hour later, we had the whole song written. It was just one of those things where we were just capturing a moment and not trying to write anything, but being vulnerable and honest in songwriting and just being there and open to capturing it. And it was really cool, full circle moment that was the one that took off and gave us a good rep inside the label, and they were happy to continue to work with us and get even more stuff going. So it's just been a whirlwind of positive momentum. And, we've been diligent with that, and we've been working our butts off to make sure we're continuing to write and try to get on an even higher level sonically and musically and with concepts that are very real and have the ability to connect with an audience.
Mm-hmm. So is that the song you're going to do for us first?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's check it out. John Kay, If We Never Met, here on Border Crossings.
I'll be drunk waking up in someone else's bed. I'll be lost in a crowded room of fake friends. I wouldn't even know what love is if we never met.
Yeah.
What if I never started singing? What if you never told a family you believed in when you felt the pressure? There's a million different reasons shouldn't be together, but when I put it all together, it all comes back to you. I love it when the only light is me, you, and the moon. And baby, when I close my eyes, I'm thinking about if we never met. I'll be drunk waking up in someone else's bed. I'd be lost in a crowded room of fake friends. I wouldn't even know what love is if we never met. What if I never left Nashville? What if we never called me back when I asked you? Songs do about the weather. It all happened for a reason. Girl, you put me back together. And when I put it all together, it all comes back to you. I love it when the only light is me, you, and the moon. Baby, when I close my eyes, I'm thinking about if we never met. Yeah. I'll be drunk waking up in someone else's bed. I'd be lost in a crowded room of fake friends. I wouldn't even know what love is if we never met.
Border Crossings, John Kay, If We Never Met, a song that propelled him into superstardom. So, 320 million streams. Now your new album project is at close to 500 million streams. A Loveless, everything else. And so I have to ask this question. Such a handsome guy like you, what about acting?
It's not my bag. It's
not your
my bag.
Bag.
I'd happily do the score for a movie, but I think that's about as far as I'd like to go. I like to keep it small, focus on the music, and my passion and my love are live shows and performing and singing and connecting with people that way. I don't know. I highly doubt that you're going to see me in any movies.
Well, you certainly have the look for it if you have the desire. John Kay is our guest, and we're talking about his new project. I also wanted to ask you about your grandmother. I guess she was in music, and your dad was a guitarist, or is a guitarist, jazz guitarist, or something like that. How did it influence your choice?
I mean, apparently it runs through the Johns, because my great grandfather, John Polson, was an amazing trumpet player, and he used to gig in New York City. They used to pull all nighters back in the 50s, 40s, 30s, 40s, 50s. And he used to gig with Louis Armstrong and Bunny Berrigan. And because he was so close with Bunny Berrigan, my grandma, we call her, he named her Grandma Bunny. Well, Bunny. And so that stuck. And Bunny was also just always in church singing and showed me piano, like the simple chords, like this is a C note and this is a D note and this is a chord. And then my dad was always just kind of singing and playing. And I grew up in a house full of instruments and drum sets in the living room and keyboards. And it was always kind of around, but it was never the focus. It was just something that we always enjoyed. And I think that I've kind of kept that where I truly just enjoy it. It's not, I'm not burdened by it in any way. I'm not like, oh, I need to be brilliant. It's just, I love to do it as, and I always loved it as a hobby. And when it became a focus, it was an easy transition to just lean into it and let the momentum do the rest.
Did dad or grandma give you any advice?
Just really never stop singing. It was all about figuring out what you can and can't do from the inside out, and also always listening back to what's leaving your mouth. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really important step for a singer. It's like some people think they sound really good this way, but they're not listening back this way. So to make that connection and to always listen back to the things you're doing, whether it's a live show or even just a voice note or a voice recording of singing over stuff, it's always good to have that reference.
Mm-hmm. And people have compared your sound and your style to Drake, Bill Withers. I mean, these kinds
what
of
a combo.
They have very little in common other than they were legendary, are or were legendary singers, and in their own style. So where do you feel you fit in? Because these are comparisons thrown out at you. Where do you get your inspiration?
I mean, I think it's always just, we always try to throw around words like timeless and not chasing any genre specific fad or anything. We want things that, the things that feel best to us. I think now having the perspective of writing a lot of music is the ones you want to come back to again, and the ones that feel like they could stick around for a while. And it's been cool to watch the journey of If We Never Met, because that song, you know, it wasn't on New Music Friday. It didn't have this big, huge off to the races kind of start, but it slowly but surely just climbed and climbed and climbed, and we saw people wanting to save it and replay it and reach out about how it feels like it's their story, and we saw a genuine connection there. And so I think that's always going to be the goal, is just connecting on a very human level and having songs that feel kind of timeless and could stick around for a while.
Mm-hmm. And you referred to we and the band. So this is a whole, the band, what do you call the band?
I mean, it's all John Kay, I guess, but I have a really hard time saying I inside this project, because I know it takes a village, and I know that we're a unit, and there, without my co-writers and the songwriting team that's in LA, and they've embraced me fully. And it's without, you know, the songwriters and my collaborators, you know, I'm just a guy who likes to sing. So you need a lot of people to put it all together. And I remember the label had to call me one time and say, hey, could you say I more? Like, it's called John Kay. It's about you. I'm like, yeah, but that's not me. Like, it's all of us working together and making something that we're all really happy with. So it's always going to be we.
And what do we call our fans? Do we have a name for our fans?
Oh, I don't know. Some people have started the Jonkies.
I love it.
Yeah, I don't. There's a couple other ones. Some plays on John Kay, but I don't know if we have a definitive one that's really stuck yet.
John Kay is our guest, and so the next song you're going to do is the latest single, "I Love You More."
Yeah,
it features Rosie. So tell me about Rosie.
Rosie's incredible young talent. She's kind of a genius. Like, I'm just blown away by her ability to find these really intricate harmonies and to do everything. She does really everything herself. And we had I Love You More on Love and Everything Else, and we always heard it as a duet, and we wanted somebody to finish the other side of the story. And we felt like it would be really, really special. And we sent it to Rosie's team, and first they passed because it was bad timing and they were going to release their own single. And then they called us back 2 weeks later and they're like, we're sorry, we want to be a part of it. Let's do it. And then we just worked back and forth with Rosie. And when she sent me the verse that she wrote, on the second verse, I was blown away by the connection, and she just felt like exactly what the song needed. And I'm very, very happy to see that it really feels at this point like it's connecting and it's doing its thing. And I think that we're very authentic to the original record, and we just made it a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so proud of that song.
Can you tell me? I mean, it's obviously about love, but is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's
a feeling for you and your wife. Is there some connection or something?
Yeah, it's the wedding song. I mean, it's the main line is "I love you more than the bad days ahead," and you know, I love you more than the nights that I don't even remember the words we spent slamming doors or something to that effect. But it is it's just like no matter what comes, I'll love you more. You know, and that's true for me and my wife. I think it's true for any really, really strong relationship. It's like you need to have that commitment that transcends any fight or anything you can go through, knowing that you're going to go through it together.
Awesome. I look forward to hearing it. John Kay, live here on Border Crossings. I love you more. John Kay, Love and Everything Else. That's the name of the new project from John Kay, and I Love You More is the single with Rosie. And John Kay, you've done collaborations with Don Diablo. You got a bunch of guests on the new project.
Yeah, I mean, it's been fun to see the world kind of open up and people being open and even asking me to be a part of things. It's humbling. It's an honor. And I just try to do the best with it that I can. I think that it's always really, really fun to do something, you know, a little out of my comfort zone or what I normally do, and try to connect to it as I would anything else. So I found it very, very exciting and fun and very just interesting to kind of go into somebody else's world and try it on and see how it fits. So I think it's awesome.
Do you have a wish list of who you'd like to work with in the future?
I mean, of course, you know, give me a Drake feature, give me an Ed Sheeran feature. I would do a song with Maroon 5, or, you know, all the greats that we grew up listening to. Would be just an incredible experience to kind of throw ideas back and forth and go for it. Mm. So, what's, I mean, I'm, I love, I think anybody that has made a name for themselves, I know the work that is involved in getting to that kind of a level. So I have nothing but admiration and appreciation for anybody who's doing it, because it takes everything, you know. It takes an unbelievable commitment, not only to the craft of songwriting, but finding your people, getting all the production right, and then wearing the artist hat and doing, you know, everything else that's involved in it. So I love music, I love artists, and anybody that reaches out and asks me to be a part of something, I'll find something special in it and be very, very excited to be a part of it.
What's been the highlight for you so far?
I think the highlight so far has just been the day in and day out and the mundane. I've grown to really, really love songwriting. I've grown to, you know, have had relationships really blossom because of this career. I've met incredible people, writers, artists. And, you know, I just find so much satisfaction in the mundane and the little things that when I look at live shows, you know, I used to get nervous, but then I realized that, you know, people are coming there for us. And that's just a way for us to celebrate together stuff that we already love. And so that took all the pressure of the live show away. And I truly look at that now as just a celebration of what we've worked so hard to write and what we've spent years just trying to find that one song or those five songs. And I love the process. I love the people that are involved, and I love my team. So I'm a happy guy. Like, true and true, I'm just a happy guy that loves what I do.
So there's a one thing that happens in every singer's life that is something that'll stay with you forever, and that's the first time you hear your song on the radio.
Yeah.
Tell us your story.
Yeah, Elvis Duran made that happen for me. We had this song that I remember before releasing it, I wasn't even sure that I liked it. And then, you know, fast forward a couple months, it was like 2 months later, Elvis had us in, you know, had us in the room with him live broadcasting on Y100, and he played the song, and it was the coolest way to hear it for the first time, because we were hearing it live on the radio, sitting in his, you know, amazing booth, surrounded by all of our people, having an interview and having just a great time, like enjoying that little glimpse of what it could all look like, you know? And so that was really inspiring, because that was so early. That was in early 2017. And I was like, we want more of this. So let's do whatever we have to do to go get that and continue to get that. And he was just so, you know, he's exactly who he is on the air, that off the air. And he was very inviting and warm and welcoming, and to hear it played live was such a cool thing, and really inspired the drive that has carried us through to now.
Well, you know, the difficulty with putting out a new project right around a pandemic is you can't go out really and tour. You can't meet the people and perform the songs live. So that's got to add a huge challenge to what you do, especially the timing.
Yeah. I mean, I really wanted to release music. You hear that? I said I. And I wanted to create a bed and a foundation. I wanted people to get to know me by the music. And I always knew, you know, that if I release as much music as possible through this time, that when things do loosen up and open back up, you know, we'll have already connected with more people. And there'll be people that are kind of knowing what we're doing, because we were sitting on so much music at the time that it was like, you know, the first thought was let's wait, because, you know, we didn't know how long this was going to last in March. And we initially wanted to put out the album last summer. So we did wait a little bit, but by the time like October rolled around, I was like, let's just do it. Let's release it. Let's keep moving forward. Let's keep releasing music. And I think we'll just win, because we're going full force, and the creative process throughout that. And you get something back when you release music. Like, it really is a release, and it's stuff that we've worked on for 3 years that finally you get to take your hands off it and stop making changes and stop obsessing over it. And you get to like, let it go. And that is really, really healthy, because, you know, I'm very competitive and I'm always trying to beat my stuff until it's out, You know, like when it comes to an album and we say I have 12 songs confirmed, I'm going to work my butt off to try to chip two or three of those away to put better songs in their place. So if I don't release music, I'm going to drive myself crazy trying to always beat every single song until it comes out. So I was happy to just have it out and not have to stress about it anymore, not change little things that nobody's going to hear but me anymore. And it was really, really healthy for me. And I think that I wouldn't change it, you know, and we'll tour when we can tour.
And one of the neat things about this virtual world is that you can connect with people far away, you know, in other countries, as we're talking to people in 100 countries right now. We're talking to people in Japan and Europe and London and Asia and the Middle East. And so they're meeting John Kay for the first time and hearing your music for the first time. So that's one of the nice things about this situation.
Yeah. This digital world that we all live in. Yeah. Southeast Asia and Korea have just opened their arms to us, and we've seen an incredible response over there to the music. And it's just so cool to see. You don't think about those things. You don't know where things are going to resonate or connect. But it's wild to see, you know, cover videos and people doing their versions of the songs and saying how important they are to them, and they listen to it every day, and all that stuff is just like, just good confirmation. Like, we're doing, I feel like I'm really doing what I was put on this earth to do, and I'm going to continue to do that because I've seen people really enjoy it and connect to it and have it be a part of their day. And that's an important thing to do. I think it just keep going.
All right. What's the last song you're going to do for us?
Parachute, one of my favorites, from the Memory of the Right. Just, we had so much fun in that session. We were just kind of free and just messing around and all like singing these like chanty fun. We were all jumping around the room. It was very free and we were just having a good time. And I think that showed in the record. And most of the vocals were cut the day we wrote that song. Which is cool. That's not always how it happens. A lot of times, you know, you write it and then you figure out what's the production sound like. But that one was just like, we were in a certain moment and we were all in that place. And I actually I tried to recut all the vocals, but they didn't have the same life. They didn't have the same connection. So we went with those day of vocals, and Parachute is just a silly little carefree little at the beginning of a love story, love song. And, you know, I would fall without a parachute, just meaning like, you're so great that I would just, I'm not afraid to fall for you, kind of thing.
Well, you sure know how to melt the girls' hearts. That's for sure.
I'm cool being the love song guy. I'm fine with it.
He's the love song guy. Parachute. Here's John Kay on Border Crossings.
On night I sit in silence, watching shitty movies, getting high, laughing about nothing much at all. And that's cool with me. I'm losing control, but I like it. What you doing to me, doing to me? You got a hold of my psyche, and it's alright with me, cause I don't know what's happening. But lately I've been holding it in myself, spending all my time on somebody else. I'm feeling all these feelings I don't understand. You're the one good thing I ain't questioning it. Like, ooh, if I knew that it would kill me, I would still be here a thousand times over. Yeah. If that's a consequence of loving you, and I would fall without a parachute. Got me thinking diamonds, and I usually take my time. Yeah. I just can't believe it, all the ways that you blow my mind. Yeah. Everyone can see it, lady. I've been holding it in myself, spending all my time. friends that love you, then I will fall in that affection. Da 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 da.
And that's John Kay with Parachute. We're talking with John Kay from your home in Orlando and your studio, actually. It looks like the home studio there.
Yeah, this is where I spend, every single day. It's part amazing that I can do it from home and, also drives me crazy, too. And makes me want to just, it's a love hate for sure, but I desperately miss the live show aspect. I'm so looking forward to connecting with people on that level again. And we've been working, the next wave of music is almost done. So we have been foot on the pedal, working on the next project, and hopefully I can announce it soon, but I'm shooting for this summer.
Oh, great.
And I just want to keep the foot on the gas and keep putting out music that I believe in and setting the bar really high. And I want the listeners to trust that anytime that we're going to put out music, it's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're shooting for.
Love and Everything Else, which is the name of your latest project and the new one this summer. When you're back in the D.C. area and things open up, please come into the studio and join us. We'd like to have you live in person. So tell me, where can people find your tour schedule and your, connect with you, social media? What are the sites?
Yeah, at Music by John Kay, at John Kay on Twitter, and at Music by John Kay on Instagram. And just reach out, shoot me a DM. Let's be friends. Let's talk. I'm going to start posting all about the new wave, and everything is coming very, very soon.
All right. Well, thank you, John Kay. I appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate it.
Love and Everything Else, the name of the new project from John Kay, our guest. You are watching Border Crossings. This is the Voice of America.